We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
My friends, premillennialism is a misunderstanding of Bible prophecy and a misunderstanding of the kingdom of Christ. Today, we are considering the fulfillment of these prophecies and promises. The promises of the land inheritances were renewed to Abraham's seed from time to time, and they were fulfilled. The promises that God made to Abraham and his descendants were conditional. In Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 10, God, through the prophet, warned of certain things to happen if they did not obey. In the 19th chapter of the same prophecy, God declared to Israel, "Even so will I break this people, the Jewish nation, and this city," the city of Jerusalem, "as one breaketh the potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again." This is God's word spoken to the Jewish nation of Old Testament time. "Cannot be made whole again" was the divine pronouncement. In spite of this solemn warning and declaration by Jehovah, men today predict falsely that the Jews will gather together again in the city of Jerusalem for the Lord's return. This is an absolute contradiction of God's declaration. God said, "cannot be made whole again." But some say, "will be put together again and dwell in Jerusalem with Christ 1,000 years. God says, "not so." Both cannot be right. God did not declare a falsehood. He spoke the truth. The fulfillment of prophecy in the lifetime of Joshua leaves the premillennial theory void of God's approval. Hear the prophet Moses in Deuteronomy 31, verses 7 and 8, when he declared, "And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt go with this people into the land which Jehovah hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." Now, question, did God fulfill these prophetic declarations? There can be no doubt about it. In conflict with premillennialism, the Bible emphatically declares, "Now it came to pass, after the death of Moses, the servant of Jehovah, that Jehovah spake unto them of the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, to you have I given it, as I spake unto Moses." Joshua 1, verses 1 through 3. Now hear this inspired conclusion in Joshua 21, 43, 45. "So Jehovah gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it, and dwelt therein. And Jehovah gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. Jehovah delivered all their enemies into their hands. There failed not aught of any good thing which Jehovah had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." End of quotation. God gave to Israel all the land, it is said, and it all came to pass, the Bible declares. To take the position that Jehovah never gave this land to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is nothing short of an outright rejection and flagrant repudiation of God's word. Not only that, but to contend that the land prophecy has not been fulfilled, is the premillennialists do claim, is to accuse Jehovah of a falsehood, because the Bible says it was fulfilled about 35 centuries ago, as revealed in the quotation from Joshua 21, 43-45. Ladies and gentlemen, do you ask why the importance of the land prophecy? Because this is the very heart and core of premillennialism. They claim these land promises are yet to be fulfilled when Jesus comes back to earth again to reign on the earth. This is an absolute perversion of God's word. God warns about false prophets. Many false teachers are proposing to the Jews a false hope. This has been true ever since God made his promise to Abraham in the long ago. God warned against such false teachers. This is what he said. And I say, are you listening? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, and ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Jeremiah 23:16-17. Is not this statement of Jehovah a true description of would-be prophets of today, who are telling the world that they are speaking the voice of God, making great promises to those who have rejected Christ, telling them that the Lord has said so and so? They shall dwell with the Lord in Jerusalem in peace, and no evil shall come upon them, we are told. Read Jeremiah 23:16-17, as I have stated. And observe how God warned against these false prophets. Read verse 31 of the chapter, and hear what God says in these words. Saith the Lord, that use their tongue, and say, he saith. It is a common thing for these false prophets, making spectacular promises and assurances about Christ's second coming, to say, he saith, or this is what God says, or God revealed this to me, and then attempt to palm their false prophecies and vain promises off as the word of God. There was the seed promise that was given. The second covenant that God made with Abraham was the seed covenant, which you read in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. It is said, now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land that I will show thee. I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Three things are absolutely imperative toward the carrying out of the Abrahamic promises and their fulfillment. One, there had to be a place. This referred to the country of Canaan, the land of Palestine. Two, there had to be a people. This referred to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are the people known in the Bible as the Hebrews or the Israelites. And three, there had to be the person. This is the spiritual aspect of the promise and has reference to the coming of the one person who would bless the world, that person being the Messiah, the Christ, as revealed in the New Testament. This covenant, without doubt, is fulfilled in Christ, the Son of God. The Apostle Paul so declared in Galatians 3:6-9. He said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Language could hardly be plainer. This covenant with Abraham was a spiritual one, and its blessings belong to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. The apostle declared, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. But who are they which are of faith? They are those who obey the gospel of Christ, because of faith in Christ, both Jew and Gentile, as revealed in Galatians 3:26-29. There is no special blessing to the Jews as a nation in the seed covenant between God and Abraham. Both the Old and the New Testament declare this to be true. The third covenant is the covenant of circumcision, as revealed in Genesis 17:9-13. This covenant of circumcision was for the Jewish nation only, between God and Israel. It is stated that the covenant also was said to be an everlasting covenant. But does that mean a covenant without end? If the land covenant is an everlasting covenant, and the Jews will go back to Jerusalem and possess the land and reign with Christ in Jerusalem, then the covenant of circumcision would have to be a never-ending covenant also. This conclusion is positively untrue and denies the truth of the New Testament Scriptures. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 5:6, "In Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love." How does the faith work? That is the blessing of faith. The Apostle gives the answer in the same letter. He said, "For you're all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Galatians 3:26-29. All Christians, whether Jews or Gentiles, are heirs according to the promise of God that He made to Abraham. All become Christians in exactly the same manner. There is no such thing as a special hope for Israel or restoration of the Jews to Palestine for the coming of Christ and a special reign of Christ with the Jews on earth. Such dogmas of men are positive denials of the gospel of Christ and refutation of the New Testament. The Bible declares that the Jews as a nation have been rejected by God. Both Jews and Gentiles may obey the gospel of Christ and become sons of God, the seed of Abraham, and heirs according to the promise of the Scripture state. But there is no special blessing to any man or nation on earth, here or hereafter. God is no respecter of persons. The Apostle Peter made that very clear in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Concerning Israel as a nation, God had this to say, "Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten." That's found in Jeremiah 28:39-40. That is what God said about the future of Israel as a nation. According to Bible prophecy, when Israel possessed the land, they would be required to keep the Passover. The Bible says, "And it shall be when Jehovah shall bring thee into the land of Canaanite, and the Hittite, and Amorite, and Hivite, and the Jebusite, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to Jehovah." Exodus 13:5-7. Now, if the occupancy of the land is yet in the future, then the Jews who inhabit the land will be required to keep the Passover. To keep the Passover was a requirement of the law of Moses. Therefore, the reestablishment of the law of Moses would be essential to the premillennial theory. It must be remembered that the Passover law belonged to the Mosaic covenant. Will the premillennialists contend that when Israel gets into the land of promise and their prophecies are fulfilled, that they will be under the law of the Passover? If so, then according to the principle Paul stated in Galatians 5:3, the person who keeps one part of the law of Moses is obligated to keep it all. This is an inevitable conclusion. And I say, are you listening? If they are to be under the law of Moses during this future fulfillment, they will have to seek justification by that law. But if they do, they will have fallen from grace. Paul said in Galatians 5:4 to those who wanted to be again under the law of Moses, "Ye are severed from Christ. Ye who would be justified by the law, ye are fallen away from grace." I submit, therefore, that premillennialism, of its own contention, embraces keeping the law of Moses and falling from grace. Premillennialism nullifies